that I believe will encourage you. Is there children? All right, children, you are dismissed to go learn. Praise the Lord. And we're going to learn here too. All right. I think it's important to just plan on learning, you know. Sometimes you can, like, you know, somebody tries to teach you something and you'd be like, hey, you can't teach me. It's like, wait a minute, I don't have a teachable spirit right now, right? So I need to humble myself and say, okay, back up a little bit and say, I need to just humble myself and I'll learn, okay? So, and the Word of God is what's going to teach us today. So if you're going to ignore me, don't ignore the Word. So listen to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that the Word cuts through all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, everything, and it speaks straight into our heart and our spirit. And Lord, we just ask that your Word would birth in us what needs to be birthed today. Holy Spirit, we lean on your anointing, and we thank you that we can put the full weight of our lives on you and on the Word of God, and it will never fail us. We thank you, Lord, you said you'd never leave us and never forsake us, and so we just are going to be taught by the Word today. In Jesus' name. All right. So I'm excited to see what the Lord says in the next few minutes. If you turn to, let's start in Psalm 37. All right. Turn to Psalm 37. Okay, I'm going to tie this all in together, and you'll see how it works in a minute. First one says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. And that's the verse I want to just bring out there today. It says, rest in the Lord, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. The Lord kind of showed this, the first half of this verse to me last night, just for a different reason, but I had an opportunity to share that with the leaders this morning, and that is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, okay? I didn't sleep very well last night, okay? And at 6:20 on the dot, Dad walks right into our wind chimes. That was awesome. It was pretty funny. But I wasn't asleep because I was kind of in and out, and my dreams are kind of like making me tense or something. But the Lord spoke to me before I went to bed. Rest in the Lord. And that was encouraging me because it doesn't say rest in your sleep, you know, rest in your food or whatever, rest in your relaxation time. Rest in your day off, or rest in your work. It says rest in the Lord. The Lord's our rest, not our sleep. So if you're running low on sleep, rest in the Lord. You know, if you're running low on money, rest in the Lord. If you're running low on whatever it is, you know, we've been declaring the Lord's going to make us rich. And when the rich word is completely associated with financial blessing. But rich is, you know what, it's more important for us to be emotionally peaceful and rich, full of peace and patience, than it is for us to be financially rich. Okay? So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. So I would like to look to 1 Samuel 2:30. I guess this is the key verse here that the Lord showed me. He showed me this a while back, and it just kind of came up again, and I was like, wow, let's look at this a bit. So, this is, you know, back in the day when Samuel was the prophet. It says in verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Okay, so this is talking about the house of Eli. Eli was, I think, the high priest. And he had two sons. He was a terrible father. He let them do anything they wanted. They were perverts. And they did everything that was not in the law. That's everything that, you know, they just, I don't know what their deal was. But So Samuel prophesied this. Okay? Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I'll honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. All right, and he said, behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. So God was pretty serious about this here. All right, so, okay. So then, actually, I don't think Samuel prophesied that. But then next, because the next chapter talks about Samuel's first prophecy. Verse 19 says, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Okay, I was just thinking about that. He let none of his words fall to the ground. None of them. Like, Samuel was, you know, in Old Testament prophets, he was the top. The top. Because God didn't let, he was on. So the Lord is with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And you might be wondering, how does this tie into Psalm 37? Well, I'll get to that. I want to tie this into favor as well, okay? But let me read this verse again. Verse 30. Far be it from me for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So I just want to meditate on that just a bit. Far be it from me for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I was thinking about that. It says those who despise the Lord shall be lightly esteemed. So what's the opposite of that? Is honor, is being heavily esteemed, right? And so what the Lord is showing me with this is, God, if you put weight on God's word, he will put weight on you. That's really what it comes down to. God will not lightly esteem you, and that encourages me, okay? So let's just run back to Psalm 37 real quick. It says, 37 verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. All right? So this is encouraging to me. How many of you have experienced, you know, jealousy or envy or someone who had never, right? No. I've never, no, you have, okay? And you might know you're not supposed to, but you do anyway. I was talking to I filmed for Cheryl. You might have met Charlie Russo. She was one of the elderly ladies that danced at the, you know, they did a Peace to Israel, Shalom Jerusalem, that's what it was. I went and filmed her event, and for them, it was a beautiful event with, you know, they had a lot of people dancing and everything. And she was talking about how they really felt that there wasn't a spirit of one-up or, like, envy, you know, because when you're in the creative arts, you know, you have to just say, wait a second, you know what? You know, I'm not so hot myself. And even if I was, it's, you know, I humble myself. And here's a thought for you creators, is the creation can never be bigger or greater than the creator, right? We have a tendency to worship art or worship music, but this is awesome. No matter how big or awesome your symphony or piece of art is or sculpture, it's not as good as you. It's not better than you. Not more valuable than you. And that's kind of a revelation to me. And because in the same way, we can never be greater than God. Because the music that comes out of me, it comes out of me. It doesn't come out of, you know, a God or a deity, right? So I have no business worshiping it. And so same thing with you. Like you, like Dwayne, you know, his sculptures are great. But they're not better than him. Like even if he sold one for $10 million, Dwayne's worth more than that. You know, and so, wow. Okay, so back to, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, okay? So this is maybe a challenging message, but how many of you have experienced someone, you know, they might not be serving the Lord, but they are succeeding? You know, it seems like everything they do works, and it just works for them, okay? And that can be kind of disappointing, and you're just like, what? Why? And you're just like, why? I made a stance to serve the Lord. I've made a stance. I've put and I've settled in my heart to live by faith because I know that's right. You know, we preached, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, you know, just what I was talking about a minute ago, our priority is winning the lost. It's not financial increase. You know, we got to have our priorities straight. Our priority is tithe. It's not, you know, our car payment. You know what I'm saying? That's where our priority is. We got to put our priority first. So this Psalm 37, if you are ever feeling down, you're just like, why am I not, you know, why? Or why is this person, you know, why are they succeeding? And they're not, you know, just read Psalm 37. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then verse 7 again, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. You don't even have to read the next part. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. The person that you might be looking at might not be a wicked person. You know, the issue is with you. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. So I just want to tell you today, don't worry about people who are succeeding. Don't worry about it. And that's good medicine to take. It's, you know, you can say, don't compare yourself to somebody else. And you're like, great. Like, how? You know, you might say, how? How do I not compare? Well, the Bible is telling us, don't worry about it. Don't fret. And sometimes you just have to say, I don't have an answer, but I have to choose to believe God. You know, people could, you know, console you with, you're unique, blah, blah, blah. It's true. But when you're down, you don't feel it. You're like, how am I unique? You know, blah, blah, blah. You could freak out and be like, oh, no. Don't. Just say, Lord, I trust you. And now I'm going to tell you why. Okay? Back to 1 Samuel 2:30. For far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Okay, now here's where it comes in, what I was just telling you. I'm going to tie this in. Put your weight on the Word of God. Because God honors those who honor him. You start to build a track record, and then you can, Dad talks about the crowbar of loyal, of faithfulness. You say, God, look at this. I'll tell you this, you know, I put 4 years ago, 2008, on the mirror in my bathroom, I put, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And I don't look at it every day, but it's dated, okay? 2008, and I was like, praise God. Because, and I don't want to brag on myself, but I just, you know, just praise the Lord that when you start to choose to live by faith, you say, God, I've served you. I've chosen to live. I have 4 years of history right now. And say, Lord, I have put you first. And so there's power there when you can say, I have done this. I have faithfully served you, you know. When you can bring that crowbar of faithfulness in, God, you know, it's like he's like, oh, he'll pay attention to you. And of course, we know you got to walk by faith. You know, we're not trying to twist God's arm, but when you have a relationship with God, you know, if you have a relationship with me, you know, if I know you good, like Dad, you know, we know each other. And there's certain things that I would do for him that I wouldn't do for anyone else in this room because we have a relationship. When you start building a relationship with God, you can say, God, we have a relationship, right? That's what favor is about. You know, we talk about people asking for a favor. Say, can I have a favor? You know, we don't, in our society, we don't presume upon people, and that's good. But are you that person that if God called you in the middle of the night to, you know, his car broke down, his battery died. If God called you, would you wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and go jump him? Now, of course, that's kind of ludicrous to think about that. But that's the kind of relationship that we have to have with God and he has to have with us. Is if God knows that you're not going to, he's not going to call you. He's going to call Dad, you know. He's going to call somebody who has a closer relationship. But if you can say, Lord, 2008, you know, that's it. That's when I started. You know what I'm saying? That's when I said, I'm going to live by faith. If you can put a date on it, if you can have it, if you have a track record, then there's a crowbar. They say, Lord, I know you're going to hear, I know you hear me. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, I know my Father always hears me. And so it goes both ways, you know. Jesus could say that because he had chosen to live by faith. And he had proven, you know, he'd been, you know, sometimes you're putting your time in at church. You're putting your time in. You're putting your time in. You're, you know, you're in worship and you're just like, your emotions are, your thoughts are doing the, you know, the gymnastics dad talks about. And you get out of worship and you're like, I didn't get a thing from that worship at all. I even ended mad. You know what I'm saying? And you're feeling really human at the moment. So you're just like, man, I wasn't spiritual. I didn't feel it. I didn't connect. But so, that's not why we're here, to feel spiritual or mystical or, you know. I was encouraging Bernhardt the other day. And I said, you know what? He was telling me about being real. He said, people are just not real. You know, they have to, people want to see a real Christianity. You know, they want people who aren't putting on, you know, bravado, putting on, you know, I have to do this, I have to be this way, I have to be tough. He wants people who are real. And I was saying, Bernhardt, you realize that is what God's speaking to you right now. And it doesn't, my point is, that is what God is saying to you right now. You know, you have the conversation throughout the day with yourself and with God. And I was saying, wow, it doesn't feel spiritual, but that's a truth that the Lord is, it's like a computer processor. He just puts that in, the program, he starts running it, and it's running throughout the day. And it's just, bzz, 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 and you can hear the hard drive, bzz, bzz, you know. And then, and it just, it doesn't feel like God's talking to you, but it is. So I just encourage you to stop a minute and say, this is really God. That brings me to, I'm reading a book on the Roaring Reformers, which is amazing. It's about the Protestants who didn't want to necessarily be Protestants when they decided that, that's why they called Reformers, because they wanted to reform the Catholic Church. They didn't want to break away from the Church initially. They didn't want to say, you know, death to the Pope initially. No, they didn't say that. They just wanted to say, hey, we want to change what we're doing because what you're doing is not working. You know, you say, you know, priests believe in chastity, but they're not. And they're everything but that, and they're worse than just the normal people. And they said, we want to change it. So John Calvin, I got to him, you know, talks about John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English, which is revolutionary. We owe our lives to him. Then John Huss, who was in the Czech Republic, he translated the Bible into Czech. And they had wars, like literal wars over communion, or whether or not they could receive communion. I mean, they fought about this. Their banner was the chalice, the communion cup. You know, it's amazing. And then, of course, we get to John Calvin. And what I want to say about that is he said, he was so legalistic, but he said the pastors are supposed to give themselves completely to the word and prayer. Because this right now is a visitation of God. And they believe that so firmly that that's all they wanted them to do, because when we open the Word of God, it's God is here. This is a visitation. This is right now, it's a visitation of the Holy Spirit. When you hear the Word in your own tongue, it's a visitation of God. And it's just like, wow. So when we heard the Word read, it is a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's get back to 1 Samuel. Praise the Lord. That's from the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 30 says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So if you've chosen to serve the Lord, God will not lightly esteem you. He will heavily esteem you. So I just want to encourage you. Well, those of you who are standing in faith for something, whether it's an emotional breakthrough, guidance, or a job, or a financial breakthrough, you know, being debt-free, whatever it is, just stay in faith, because God does not lightly esteem you if you have served him faithfully. And praise God. That's the whole message of the Bible, is grace and salvation. If you failed, if you haven't, if you don't have a track record, you can start now. And Jesus wipes us completely clean. And as I talked about before, we don't have to be in therapy any longer, anymore. I'm not going to be in Christian therapy all my life, because we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So you right there right now, you can say, God, I serve you now. You know, it could be the Christian who served him for 90 years, preached the gospel, or it could be the Christian just last night who, just received Jesus, newborn. Say, Lord, your favor is for a lifetime. I receive it now. So I can't say this enough. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed, but those who honor the Lord shall be heavily esteemed. Heavily esteemed. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, 23. It says, "And of Naphtali, which is a tribe of Israel, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south." Your dad and I started declaring this. It's probably about 4 years ago. You know, and we don't do it every morning, but we say, well, I started doing it 30 years ago. See, Dad, he's got a crowbar. Dad's got a crowbar. And I started saying, I would get up and say, hey, Dad, did you know that I'm satisfied with favor, full of the blessing of the Lord? And I say it because I believe it, not because I feel like I believe it, not because I'm excited. That's where the power is in life. It's not when you're excited. It's when you discipline yourself. If I can get into this 90-day challenge thing a bit, I'm having success because I've committed to discipline. And you know what? That's great. So it's, I'm satisfied with favor. I'm full with the blessing of the Lord. You wake up, Dad broke, you know, runs into the chime, 6:20. You know, I'm like, wake. I'm satisfied with favor, full with the blessing of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, God calls you at 3:00 in the morning. I'm satisfied with favor. I'm full with the blessing of the Lord. Gong, yeah. So, let's just read that again. Oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor, full with the blessing of the Lord. So that's what this favor is, okay? If you heavily esteem the Lord, you're giving him favor, right? And so to me, that's so exciting that he puts favor on you. That's what this heavily esteem is, okay? And if we just think about it a bit, that's what the glory of God is. That's what the favor of God is. It's a weightiness, okay? In Psalm 37, not everybody is going to listen to what you have to say. You know, and it's disappointing. Some people, they're not going to listen to you. Even those people that you might be thinking about, you know, they were succeeding, you know, they're prospering. But the favor of God will give you favor with men and women. I mean, that's the ultimate end of this favor is, the Lord will put weight on your words, like Samuel. You say something, I'm going to do this. That's what becoming a man or woman of your word is you put a weight on God, he starts to put a weight on you. And then what you say will happen, not just because, because you do what you say, right? I'm trying to think of where it says in Isaiah. It said, I think it's like 55. It talks about the people who worship idols. You know, the idols. It's like, how stupid is it to worship an idol? Okay, first off, it has ears that don't hear. It has arms that can't move. You know, it's got a nose that can't smell. And it says, those who serve them are like them. You know, we were just learning in Ephesians, it says that is Ephesians or James, it talks about the lost or the futility of their mind. You know, they have a futility of their mind. Their thoughts are dead, you know. But then Isaiah talks about those who serve the living God become like him. And that's so amazing. If we don't serve an idol that can't see, can't hear, can't smell, can't talk, can't taste, but we serve a living God who can. And it says we become like them. So if you're serving an idol, you're going to become that way. You're not going to see. You're going to see darkness. You're going to live in the flesh. But if you see the living God, and if you continue to look at him and to see what he sees and feel what he feels, you'll become like him. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. And then when you start to say something, you're going to back it with your words, with your actions, and with your money. And that's what God is. He does stuff. He has the power to execute. And how many of you know that the power of execute is so extremely important? Like Dwayne and I were just talking about that a minute ago. You can have a great idea. Chances are everyone in this room has had a million-dollar idea, but the execution is where the rubber meets the road. You know what I'm saying? That's where life is challenging, and that's where we have to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to go and do. So we're kind of meditating right now. So God wants to put favor on your words. And to me, that's so encouraging. Is right now, if you're hurt or wounded about, you know what, you might not be where you want to be right now in life. You might not be prospering like you want to be prospering. You might not have succeeded in the ways you would have liked. But it says, don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't fret. Don't worry about it. Because, and I'm saying this so many times, but I was like, good for me. Because God puts weight on you. He puts glory and honor on you, and that's going to start to manifest. You know, I have this picture in my heart, is that if you begin to serve the Lord, you're growing roots deep down into the ground. You're growing deep roots. That's what Joseph did, if you think about it. You know, he didn't see, obviously the Lord gave him assignments, you know, here and there. He was thrown into prison. Well, he's thrown in slavery first. Slavery first, he was falsely accused. He did a good job there. He was falsely accused, thrown into prison. He became the manager of the prison, right? And then one day, the Lord had favor on him because it was on him. The favor of God is on him. He was positioning him. And then he put him into the power of the whole world, really, the power of the entire world. Dad and I were talking about this yesterday, is, you know, you probably know very clearly where we are politically, but we're talking about, you know, President Mr. Obama and Mr. Mitt Romney, and we're just thinking, man, power is such a thing. You know, if you came into so much money, or if you came into that presidential power, like, you know, we see that Mr. Romney, it seems to be a man of character, you know what I'm saying? But Dad and I are talking about, that's why we have to pray for our leaders, because if they are elected, they become so powerful that it can corrupt them, any good man, you know what I'm saying? So you have to have that Joseph who's planted his roots and who has his roots deep down. So if someone comes up with bribes, you know, lobbyists or people come, you know, all sorts of things could happen. If that happens, he says, no, because I have planted my roots. Praise the Lord. So, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. So I just want to encourage you today. If I could have the worship team come up, I'd like to open the front up for a time of ministry, if anyone needs some prayer. I just want to encourage you today that the Lord, just take this to heart, the Lord heavily esteems you. The Lord heavily esteems you, and then your words are going to start to have weight to them. Praise the Lord. So, Dad, if you come up, and Michael, if you come up as well, and if anyone needs just some prayer. You know, you might just be saying, Holy Spirit, I just need a new touch from you. You know, I just feel like I'm running on, you know, the circle, the wheel, you know. You just feel like you might even be praying. You might even have a habit of praying in the spirit and tongues. And you just feel like you're running, you know. And you need some new scenery, you know what I'm saying, in the spirit. I believe the Lord wants to refresh you today. The word says that there's rivers of living water inside of us. So today we're just going to receive the weightiness of the Lord that's on us and receive that, the river of life.
And maybe today, as Matthew has been preaching, you realize you've not been a man or a woman of your word. And therefore, God can't put his weight on you. Matthew, hand me the music stand, please. Take everything off of it. See, this is, you can't do this. I can't put my weight on this. Some of you are like this. You're flighty. Your word is not your bond. And God can't trust you, and he can't put his weight on you, because there's no character in you. And so if that's you today, come and just repent before the Lord and say, from today on, I'll be a man or woman of my word. Jesus said, you know, if you have my commandments and love me, He said, if you have my commandments and keep them, that's the one that loves me. And I will manifest myself to him. That weightiness. If you want God to show up for you, it's time for you to show up for God. Amen? So as the band plays and you have need to come and just say, Lord, I've been fretting. I've been faithful, but I've been fretting because of the guy who's prospering. Well, I tell you what, we'll encourage you in prayer. We'll stand with you in prayer. Maybe you need to come and repent and say, man, I just haven't been faithful to God's word. No wonder he's not showing up in my life. Well, I think things can change today for you. And like Matthew said, you can go home and write it on your mirror. October 28th, 2012, I began a life of faith and commitment and faithfulness to the Lord.